Hello and welcome once again to the CGW Radio Podcast. This is the podcast for July 25th, 2006. We have a big show here today, but we're going to not talk for an hour like we did last time because I'm too tired for that. But what we're going to talk about, our usual round of what you playing. We're going to look at the Portal mod that's out for Prey and talk about portals a little bit. Do they work? Why do they exist? Are they good for you? And other such things. We're going to talk about the big news that announced by WoW, or Blizzard, I should say, about WoW. The Horde versus, the Paladin Shaman business that you probably all heard about. Then we're going to go into Darren's news and wrap it up with some happy questions from you people. With me today are such editors as
Ryan Scott,
Darren Gladstone,
Sean Elliott,
and Sean Malloy.
Hi, guys.
Hello.
Hi. So I think the question everybody wants to know is it hot enough for you?
No.
It's freaking hot.
It's
hot here. We're in San Francisco, and even in San Francisco, it's hot. I kind of can't take it.
It got up to like 110 this past weekend. It's insane.
I don't like it. It needs to stop. I'm tired and cranky. Sean doesn't care. Sean Elliott's just sitting over there.
He's immune. He's like the weather. Pure
that's
energy.
A grand way to start a podcast. I'm going to step out and let our guest come in later on in the show.
Yeah, we do have a special guest joining us later on. Hopefully, I'll ask him something more interesting than how's the weather. So what are we playing? What did we play this week? And the past week. Ryan, you playing anything?
I've continued to play EVE Online.
Really? It wasn't a one-week passing fancy with you.
Well, by play, I mean I've continued to keep my ship in a hangar, learning skills while I'm logged off.
Good job, Ryan. That's
truly
game.
The ultimate game.
That's what I've spent my week doing.
Can they just rename it Lazy Quest or something?
Have you actually logged on?
I have had to log on to, like, change what skills I'm learning, but that's pretty much all I've done.
So is the goal is to kind of sit in the hangar and just kind of wait until you're leveled up enough so that you can actually go out and not get, like, ganked the first second you start, like, exploring the universe?
So far, that's kind of the impression I'm getting. We'll see if that changes within the next week.
Can't you just go buy a character with French fries or something? Like, buy a pre-made character from someone?
With French fries?
I don't know. Whatever you got in your pocket.
Oh, okay.
Tell some dude, hey, can I have your EVE character?
Was that Progress Quest? Was that that game?
Yeah.
That it was just all you did was level.
It on in the background and just it went while you did your work.
This really is Progress Quest, but with a monthly fee.
Sweet.
Well, someone's paying for it.
Darren.
I know Sean's going to probably cover this as well, but I was playing Chrome Hounds.
Yeah, 360 game.
I know. Great. That's brilliant.
Well, that's interesting.
You change the color of your mech on your cell phone?
Exactly.
Can you? Really?
No. It's
that's coming.
You're all excited.
I got to get that game.
Wow, Live Anywhere is great. I'm a fan of mechs. I mean, I'm waiting for...
No.
Let's
have
a quick
mech argument.
Okay.
I have to
okay.
interject and say, especially after playing a recent build of Battlefield 2042, that mechs are retarded. They don't exist. It's not Japan's dirty secret. They don't exist because something far superior exists. It's called a tank. It handles terrain better. It's faster. It's more mobile,
etc. How could it handle terrain better when you've got, like, walking legs?
Trees and that are slow to turn and that throw off your aim as you're moving.
Maybe
you've got stabilizers
and
Chrome Hounds.
Also have treads.
But still, it's so slow and dumb. It's like, and my I got to get it out there. My usual complaint about Metal Gear is another game with mechs in it.
Right.
The whole thing is we're building a mobile nuclear platform. And
that
it's like, it's a mech
legs.
Thing. But it's like, hello, dude. Have you heard of a submarine? You could go anywhere you want, as fast as you want, as stealthily as you want, and deliver it where you want.
Or a jet, God forbid.
Yeah. Well, that takes care of water and air. Your mech is...
Yeah, because you can't because it's impossible to get a missile launch from the water to hit land. All right, so go on.
Wow,
Let's talk about Chrome Hounds.
No, it was a quick rant. It's like it's a game that has some potential, but man, it is so freaking annoying. I had one issue is... Okay, so it's allegedly the future. You control these giant walking robots, but one, there's no infrared, so you can't see in the dark. And two, there's no like way to identify who your friends are, and they all look the same. So you end up shooting your own guys in the back half the time.
These guys haven't studied like real mech blueprints. Yeah. They didn't have the infrared. That's weak.
But I mean, like even like it's really strange. Real jets have that tech now.
So it seems like a like conscious design decision on their part to kind of force you to, you know, not rely just on your HUD or on like a flashing green arrow over
so
your
they
friend
didn't play
and a flashing
Doom
red
3.
Arrow.
No. What about the environments in that game?
That's it needs a flashlight mod.
Another hallmark of mech games is just these big, dirty wastelands of uniform brown texture.
Yeah, you get a lot of
slightly
that.
Rolling yep. hills.
Well, the thing about it is the single player game. A lot of like the reviews are kind of just getting stuck on that because it's pretty much just a training session, an extended training session for the online game. And I wasn't into it when I first started. I'm like, I'm just shooting things and walking forward. Then as I started playing each of the six role types, which is essentially like six classes, it almost turned into an MMO in a sort
of way. Okay, and that's what I was reading about.
Right. You basically form clans up, and it seems really cool in that respect. I know guys on Quarter to Three are all like, forming up clans right now. And
can you do like leather working or anything like that?
No, it doesn't have the skills and classes like
if
that.
I can't knit hats for my party, Adam.
So how is it like an MMO then? How many people are in the game?
I have no idea.
It's like a MO.
So it's a massive party of five.
Maybe one of the M's is missing. But the
but I mean that it, sounds the like mechanics. A class-based shooter, what you described. That's
it's more of a class-based shooter then.
You guys got to quit throwing these terms around. You can confuse people.
True. But a little cavalier with it.
Sorry.
But if anything, playing it though, I don't know about you, Sean, but I kept thinking back, like, why couldn't they make another Mech Warrior game? I really enjoyed those back in the day. Mm-hmm.
That's the only one I could ever get into was MechWarrior 2.
I was really into MechWarrior 2, too, even though my computer couldn't handle it.
But then when they used the MechWarrior 2 engine to make Interstate 76, that I really liked.
Yeah.
But that was Cars. I can relate to Cars better.
Well, you just like the funk music, probably.
Better than mechs?
Than what?
Better than mechs?
Even not really a car is better than mechs.
Yeah.
Put a couple of Molotov cocktails in the trunk of a car, of a Pinto, and you've got a better weapon, a better instrument of war.
Yeah. All right, well, I think if we talk about this any longer, people are going to say, why'd you spend the whole podcast talking about
the 360? Yeah, let's talk about PC games.
Well, is it going to get ported?
Doubt it.
Probably
okay,
not.
Okay, that's great. We're never talking about Chrome Hands again.
It's over.
I've been playing The Ship, and I'm trying to get everyone in here to play, because it would be the perfect game for us to play on lunch breaks. Mm-hmm. You know, jump in. All of us can do it. It doesn't... sort of rule out people that aren't, they don't have the quickest reaction times and the best Twitch play.
So I didn't really know what it was until I read about it this morning, and it's like this is using the Half-Life 2 engine.
Yeah.
So it's a mod for Half-Life 2, but it's
no, it started as a mod for Half-Life 1. So okay. it existed in that context. There's an interesting thing about that. I'll say in a minute, but and now it's a full, it's a full-blown game. It's, on Steam, e-tail for $19.99. Mm-hmm. And
it's like
because it was a mod at first, it's getting some negative response where people that were used to playing it in that free context are still seeing it as a mod and they're expecting more because it isn't necessarily the most polished game. And the charm for me is not in how well it's put together, but how cool the ideas are behind it and how, and they do come, it is executed, well. I mean, it's definitely fun to play. I'm not going to play it in, 4-hour marathon sessions like I do with Battlefield or something like that. But, when I hop in for an hour or something, it's good times. Mm-hmm. So a quick rundown on it, since some people listening won't even know what we're talking about, is it's an entirely multiplayer game. And you've got each level is a different cruise ship. And it's, when's it set? Somewhere in the 40s, I'm thinking.
Yeah, 40s-ish.
And it takes place entirely on a ship.
On a cruise ship. And every player is basically a person on the ship. There are NPCs, but they're like, bartenders, people that run the brig, that run the infirmary and whatnot. And each person is also assigned to kill another passenger. And only they know who that is. And it's never like a tit for tat where the person you're hunting is also hunting you. They're hunting someone else and someone else is hunting you. So you're trying to identify who your target is by walking around and inspecting them, looking at them. They can change clothes and things like that. And at the same time, watching your own back. So it gets really, because everyone's suspicious of one another. Uh-huh. You see people, you walk into a room and immediately everyone kind of wants to spread out or whatnot.
Sounds fun.
Unless there's, like a guard person there or something and you can pay them, bribe them for a moment. So say if you're hunting someone and they're just going to go be chicken shit and go sit by the guard for the whole game, you can go up and bribe him and then off them. And then to add to the complexity and sort of to balance things out, you have these Sims-like needs where you've got to, you know, relieve yourself, got to go to the bathroom, got to sleep, you've got to read, you've got to talk with people a certain amount. Yeah, and if you don't do these things, you get tired, and then you slow down. You have to stop for a minute. People can catch you. But the fun part is that you start to balance it out. You're like, I have to take a leak, but I think someone's chasing me right now. I'm not going to do it. I'm going to wait. And then it turns out you were just being, you know, paranoid, and they weren't. And then you go to take a leak, and then immediately the door opens, and there's an axe murderer in front of you and offs you when you're, you know, whatever on
that
the can.
That is just not a good way to go out.
It's not. I've seen the best thing is someone was taking a dump and I poisoned them, and so they start puking because that's one of the slower. You get more. Wow. It's based
that's,
on this.
That's gaming.
It's based on this economy. You get more money depending on the complexity of your kill. So an axe kill nets you almost nothing. It's an easy, you know, there are fire axes all over the ship and for, you know, with emergency equipment stuff. But when you get the more obscure stuff, you get someone with like knitting needles or something, and it takes a lot longer because they don't do as much damage. And they can fight back, too. They can safely fight back and kill you. And then, you know, and that works in their advantage. But the thing that keeps people from all just going homicidal and murdering everyone is that if it's not your target and it's not your hunter, you're fined and you're sent to the brig. And after a certain number of just, like, bloodlust kills, you're just evicted from the server.
Oh, wow. Okay. So you have to focus on your target.
Right. But you can trick people, and it's fun then. You go into a room, close the door behind you and push someone, which you could do, and they start freaking out, and then they pull out their weapon and then they kill you, and you just respawn then in that circumstance, and then they get the loss, and you basically just trick them into almost getting kicked from the game by being so afraid of what you were doing. So a lot of the fun comes in that kind of scenario, and that's why I want us all to play.
Yeah, that sounds fun. So the next time, like, your wife or spouse or mom or whatever complains that these games are rotting your mind, you can point them to this game where you can stab somebody while they're taking a dump.
Yeah.
Or you can make a puke. That's out.
See?
Perfect.
Some games are sophisticated.
Hey, it's like Clue. It is like Darren was saying, mix of Clue, The Sims, and a first-person game. But
yeah, it sounds really unique.
Yeah. It is.
All right, after this podcast, let's do it.
We'll do it. Okay.
Well, maybe we should finish.
Secret Alliances are fun, too, because you can play, like, defensive lineman for someone after you've already killed your target, and you just say, hey, I know, you know, if you're in TeamSpeak and other people don't know it, like, hey, you know, I found your quarry. He's in this room. I'm going to go block him in there. And he's going to be afraid to kill me because I might not be the guy. And then you just come by the door and shoot a flare gun in there and burn us all down. It'll be fine, you know.
So what are the Sims needs to this? Do they just make it so that you can't just focus on the killing? I mean, right. How does that figure into the balance?
They make it so that you can't – that everyone is not constantly just running around killing one another. Mm-hmm. It adds the element of tension where you have to manage that stuff at the same time.
So it's not annoying? I mean,
not really. It's kind of fun. It adds tension for me. It's like I know, like, I just keep putting off sleep, and I'm like, okay, if I put it off a minute more, I'm not going to be able to sprint anymore, and that's a bad thing. And then I'm going to go to bed, and I'm going to have to sleep for a lot longer than taking a quick nap, and I'm just going to be sitting there. And if someone comes in and finds me, then, you know, take my wallet and do everything. So, yeah, it's not so annoying. There are quite a few different demands that you have to – needs that you have to satisfy. Mm-hmm. And some.
Do they balance them well enough? I mean, like, I can't imagine, like, I want to, like, run back to the bathroom every 5 minutes.
Yeah, you don't – I mean, it's like the ones like reading and entertainment and stuff, those take a long time. And it's not like you're going to – you know, you have to, like, read a book every 2 minutes or something like that, or in game time, like, every 5 seconds.
That would be a
whatever.
Bad message to send to gamers.
Yeah, it would definitely would.
Reading is bad for you.
Reading is bad.
Yep.
Okay. So we recommend it.
I definitely recommend it. Yeah, for $19.99, and if you want something different, they are. We were talking about that, Darren. We've been playing a lot of the games available on Steam, and it's pretty mixed because you've got only a very few that really stand out. You know, in terms of the independent stuff. Mm-hmm. So you've got Darwinia, which is the real standout, and now I like the ship, but like some of the other stuff. They just put X2 and X3 on there now, which is cool. So I'm finally getting around to playing X3.
I'd recommend you guys check it out there because the one reason I hadn't played it before is because they had Star Force on the game. So now that it's available over Steam, you can, you know, buy it off that, no problem. Mm-hmm.
Cool.
Let's see. So another big thing this week was the controversial announcement from Blizzard. It was also controversial in my office because I was supposed to break that story. So thanks a lot, Blizzard.
It appeared after you had flown down to their offices, met with them for a story, come back, we have the story laid out.
Yeah.
Open the internet one morning and, oh, look at
there
this.
There it is. Yeah.
Oh, look, interesting news.
So I got to rewrite it.
One of the
it.
Fun parts about print journalism.
Yeah, I'm going to send Blizzard the bill for me having to rewrite that article.
Two bags of Cheetos?
Right. But what do we think of that? Actually, how many WoW? We only have, well, we have 1.5 WoW players here.
Oh, you have 2.5.
2.5?
Well, me and Sean.
Sean, yeah.
Are fiends.
And I'm kind of the half player.
Right, he's okay. The half. So the big news is that in World of Warcraft, you have your two sides, the Alliance and the Horde. The one thing separating the two sides so far in the 2 years that the game has been out is that each side had one class that the other didn't. Mm-hmm. The Alliance had the Paladins, and the Horde had the Shaman. And for the past 2 years, Blizzard's had to deal with the, you know, whining fans complaining about the imbalance of the Shaman or the Paladin. So they've had to nerf them both constantly. And this was their way of, in a way, kind of throwing in the towel. Mm-hmm. Saying, you know what? Screw all of you. You all get all of them. Now shut up.
Or are the Paladin, are these two classes like linchpins of their sides? Or
that's the problem, is that they're not.
They're not.
And I think because they were, there was one on each side that the other couldn't have, they couldn't make them linchpins because there's dungeons you can't really tune to, you know, if you can't have a shaman and it's impossible to have a shaman, then we can't make you have a shaman, so they're not linchpins. So that was the whole problem.
So they're filler classes.
Like, yeah, they're very hybrid classes.
People are getting mad over filler classes.
Now, if you call them filler classes, we're going to get like 8,000 letters
as to call them that?
And I would argue paladins are more useful than shamans in groups in the end game, but I like shamans better. So I think it's fine. I mean, it's one of those things that you can't really tell what's going to happen until it's unleashed into the game.
Well, that's the crazy thing. They announced it, and then there were like, you know, 8,000 page threads on the Blizzard forums about what a disaster this was.
It's like the government announced like a tax raise or, you know.
Yeah. Everything that is announced is a disaster.
Of course,
so.
and half people are saying, "Oh, I'm never going to play this again." Now,
oh, absolutely!
Without even
they're
actually
boycotting
it.
Blizzard, they're not just going to not play WoW anymore. They're not going to play, you know, Diablo 3 when that comes out because Blizzard's jumped the shark over this decision.
It's funny because I don't play it, and it totally makes sense to me because anytime you do attempt an asymmetrical balance like that, it almost never works out exactly that way, and it's happened in Battlefield the same way.
Right, but what's the big exception to that? Ryan, this is a little gaming test.
Huh?
You have the Jeopardy music?
StarCraft. Blizzard achieved this. Mm. They came up with a strategy game with three totally, you know, different sides. So they proved themselves that they could do it.
And even Warcraft is, I mean, you know, Warcraft 2 and 3.
Yeah.
Well, MMOs are kind of different, though. Just because you're constantly tuning all this stuff.
I frankly don't get it. I mean, it's like if you don't want to be a shaman on the Alliance side because it doesn't fit in with your worldview of Azeroth or something, you know, then don't be one.
In the fan fiction,
and don't party with one.
So long as they explain it in the official story, then I'll accept it.
Exactly. Yeah. What was your name again?
My name is Ralphie Myers.
That's our special guest.
Special guest Ralphie Myers checking in.
So you're okay with these changes, Ralphie?
Like I said, so long as Blizzard explains it in official continuity, then I can accept it. But if they simply drop these changes on us like this without it making sense within the context, then I'm gone.
Of course, you know, they are offering more explanations for these things. But people are saying like, oh, now they're just stretching it too much. You know?
Right, because it was so believable beforehand.
Right. It was based on a true story. So.
I saw it. It happened.
So how does the Horde, how do they have paladins? Aren't paladins supposed to be
They're not actual. They don't even call themselves paladins, but you can. They call themselves
and on the character select screen, they're called paladins probably.
Well, they are.
Yeah.
But it's explained that like they channel the holy light for nefarious purposes.
Yeah.
And they call themselves blood knights. But of course, Blizzard didn't want you to call them that because then you would think you were getting a new class. Which you're not getting.
Not at all.
Yeah, because it's the exact same skills.
So yeah, I guess they captured some sort of like magic happy light being and put it in the basement and they're sucking all the energy out of it. So.
Right. So hence you're an evil paladin.
Right.
And then the shaman, Janai, I forget.
That just makes sense on its own.
Anyway,
you don't need explanation for that.
Who cares?
I, yeah,
you know, it's like you get one more class to choose from.
Yeah, it'll change up the group dynamics because you can actually have a paladin and a shaman
right.
in the same group. And that might, hey, make some different gameplay.
Right.
Which could
it
be
makes
cool.
me mad to have more choices.
No, I haven't checked it. The boards, but like, were there any complaints about like them saying, like, why didn't you just come up with another class for each side? A totally different
yes.
thing?
Yes. Or why don't you finally balance the paladins and the shaman? Like this was.
Yeah, why don't you finally balance this MMO there? Yeah, that's easy.
Yeah.
That's simple.
People suck.
Why didn't they think of that?
Gamers suck. All they do is
heard it here first.
CGW says.
Thumbs up.
So what are your personal takes on it as serious WoW players? No, How much does it matter to you?
Not at all.
Not at all. I think it's kind of cool. Like
me
I might roll up a Blood Elf Paladin.
Yeah.
There you go.
And siphon all your gold over to him.
That's right. Well, like, I mean, I didn't invest, you know, 9 million years of my life in a paladin or a shaman, and maybe I would feel a little more affronted if I could have known that, oh, man, I played a shaman and I really wanted to play Alliance, but I had to be Horde, and then now they're changing it. Maybe I would feel a little offended, but it wouldn't end my world, and I wouldn't post anything on a board.
So for these guys, it's like the equivalent of, like, buying, like, say if you bought some lithograph and it was said, you know, limited to 500 prints, and then a couple years later, they ended up making like 10,000 more or something, right?
Yeah.
Something like that.
I mean, just
because
you're like, okay, well, I didn't want to play on this side, but I did just so I could be this, you know,
right.
just so I could be a paladin. And now all of a sudden, these other guys that got to play the better class get to.
Yeah, these the Alliance Paladins are up in arms because their special class is now, you know, available to the other side.
That's pretty sad, though.
But the other side's special class is available to them.
Well, right, but you know, when you're a paladin, you don't care about.
But it's
that.
Like, it's what is it? I mean, is it? It's like jealousy, or like, I mean, what's the exact like word for it? But for us, never mind.
I don't know.
For a video game,
we're trying to rationalize what people on the WoW message boards are talking about.
Wow, talk about the unachievable.
Yeah,
not that we hold them in disdain.
No, we love them all.
We love them, and we understand the passion, but probably you want to move on. Because Blizzard's doing it and you can't do anything about it.
Yeah.
So shut up.
Power to the people, though. They could stage some serious in-game protests.
They could.
They could.
Bring
You're
their
right.
servers to their knees.
Uh-huh. Did that work with the Warrior one?
They did that with the Warriors. Yeah.
I don't remember if it worked, though. Did they change anything?
I thought they did. I thought that the mass protest worked.
There you go.
So what you got to do is like get every paladin on your server to go, you know, hang out in Ironforge. And
just jump around.
Mm-hmm.
Start casting the crustiest spell all at once.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Start dueling up a storm.
That'll learn them. All right, that's enough of that. Sean, yesterday I saw you playing around with the Prey portal mod.
Trying to.
Yeah, it didn't seem like it was working too well.
I don't know what the deal was. Basically what this is, you know, Portal is coming out for, coming out on Steam along with Half-Life Episode 2, and so someone whipped up something in Prey, a quickie mod that's essentially the same thing, where you have your wrench, and then by hitting Alt-Fire, you create an exit portal, and then hitting it again, you create an entry portal. And then you can just sort of, pretty much the same as the Portal game, you know, go through one into another. And I went in, and right away I was like, okay, I have to start a new game in the bar set, because it wasn't working when I loaded up existing saves. I had to, you know, start something fresh. I was like, I'm going to create an infinite loop and get these two jabronis in the bar stuck falling through the ground and then falling out through the roof and then back and forth. But it didn't seem to work on NPCs. They weren't going through the portal. And I guess that makes sense, because in that game, only really you can go through the portals. Even though, I don't know, I guess
enemies
teleport.
The enemies do.
Well, but they tell two rednecks at the bar.
They don't usually follow you through,
though. But you can't. I wonder if in the code those are different portals, because they make. They spawn in, and that could be a trick, like,
oh, you're
just
right.
to get them into the level.
Yeah.
You can't go back through those. They just disappear.
So sometimes you can.
Do the enemies ever, they never follow you in or out of a portal?
They've never
I can't
did
remember.
When I played, but they would shoot through them.
They shot
never,
shoot through them. Yeah.
Right. I've never had one come in behind me, though.
So the main problem I was having was just technical, was that I was supposed to be able to press the button once and create an exit and then press it again. But what was happening is no matter how quickly or how, you know, long I had button held down, it would create two in the same spot. And I just really couldn't work around that. The other thing, I mean, it could be a fun addition to the game. I suspect it would lead to quite a few crash scenarios where you're breaking it, where you're able to get yourself in places that, you know, you're not intended to, and things like that.
Right.
But it could be fun. I mean, theoretically, it could be fun for another playthrough, just messing around, seeing what you could do.
Ralphie, did you try it out? Did Ralphie, did you, are you still here?
I didn't try that one because I don't like that game.
No.
Why not?
Why not?
Everybody's playing Prey.
I would rather play a game that takes imagination in, like, an adventure game.
I thought you were more of a shooter fan.
I don't like those anymore.
I don't know what happened.
Did you get traumatized online, or?
Well, a lot of times I play online games to be friends with people, and they ended up making fun of me. But if I'll play the right game, I'll find some of my better friends. But usually in the shooters, they ask me why if I've ever been with a lady. And when I tell them I go to LAN parties and on Yahoo personals to meet them, then they don't seem to think that's a respectable.
We're sorry.
That sounds awful.
I didn't mean to laugh.
You have friends here though at CGW Radio.
Yeah, I've only been in this podcasting studio for 5 minutes, and I feel like you're my better friends.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, sweet.
Darren, will you tell us about the news?
Yeah,
sure, buddy.
Let's go on to the news. Ralphie, you can stay, though.
Stick around, man.
What happened this week in gaming, Darren?
This week in gaming, some rumors came out about what it's going to take to play Crysis. And be ready to buy a new computer.
And it's a hell of a lot.
Yeah. I doubt, like, these are totally unconfirmed. And guys over at EA said that these are just, you know, speculation. So... Mm-hmm. Take these with a grain of salt or whatever. So the min spec, you have to have at least an Athlon 64 3000 or an Intel 2.8 gigahertz CPU and about a gig of RAM and an NVIDIA 6600 or X800 GTO graphics card. But what it's going to if you actually want the game to look
required specs.
But that's
if you want it to actually run.
Run on your computer, dual core CPU, 7800 GTX. At least a gig of RAM, probably more like two. And don't forget that 6 gigabyte hard drive space. So basically,
how much?
6 gigs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like how there's an internet requirement here.
Oh yeah. Come on now, that's too much.
512K plus.
Okay,
I was okay with it until that.
And actually, and for all our readers who complain about having to get DVDs, you're gonna need a DVD ROM.
So. EA just told you.
But we're basically fanning flames of rumor here.
Basically. Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, it's like the equivalent of, you know, when Doom 3 came out. Mm-hmm. And this is, you know, primed for DirectX 10. This is really the equivalent, even though we don't necessarily have, you know, the exact equivalent of console generations. This is next-gen PC gaming.
It is.
Indeed.
And it makes sense that, you know, when you're going to – and you look at the game and you play it, and it definitely lives up to at least my expectations.
At some point, you got to pony up.
Right. And at some point, you're going to have to upgrade.
It's going
to
be time. So basically, if you're thinking of buying a computer now, either get a really cheapie to get you through till next year or just save up your cash right now and get something.
It's like, I'm waiting for the DirectX 10 to see what's going to take at this point now. Mm-hmm. But the one thing that surprises me on their recommended specs is the dual core CPU, because I've heard nothing but bad things about that, about dual cores. One of my friends has had nothing but trouble with it with existing games. Battlefield, it introduces all sorts of crashes and stuff. Whatever else he's doing on the computer, it's just always, he's always on one form or another with other people that have the exact same problem with the exact same setups.
I think that's the current problem with the current gen games, is that they aren't really taking advantage of it. I think part of it is seeing these next gen games and the next gen OS taking advantage of dual core processing.
So you think it's going to become standardized then?
Well, I think it's kind of going in that direction.
Yeah,
I would agree.
But just what the burn is to be too soon.
That's exactly it. So I mean, like, I know, I've gotten a couple emails from readers after running our new issue with the how to build your own budget PC.
You future-proofed yourself right out of the present.
Exactly. that really is the problem. Is like if you can hang in there, and you know, buy another graphics card, buy some more RAM, do what you got to do. But you're probably going to need to think ahead for DX10 and Vista. Mm-hmm.
And so far, it looks like this game is actually going to be worth it.
Totally.
And we're not saying that just because they paid us to say that.
Don't even
joke about that.
Not even joke, because there's going to be someone out there that's going to be like, I knew it.
Oh, I knew they.
I knew they're for sale. Bastards.
What else is in this week's news, Darren?
All right. Speaking of Vista, or I should say Microsoft in general, coming soon. Okay, so there's been a lot of speculation about a portable hand, you know, a portable Game Boy-like device coming from Microsoft, and they've been slowly revealing information about it. It's spelled Z-U-N-E, pronounced Zune, and it's a multimedia device. What they're all they're saying right now is an all-in-one entertainment device. It images that are on the web make it look more like an iPod killer as opposed to like a gaming device. Mm-hmm. But there's speculation that it's going to be a separate gaming device as well. Basically, it's kind of a platform.
Well, thank God something like this finally came along.
Yeah, because we really need another handheld to play games on because the N-Gage worked so well. But the only reason I'm bringing it up now is there could be some kind of potential crossover with Live Anywhere.
Mm-hmm. The one thing reading that is, like, if it is a media-heavy thing, because I'm pretty sick of my iPod, but it's, like, the only thing, because I was looking at getting something else, and I was looking at creative, but it's, like, I like iTunes.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, like, if Microsoft had a hub that big and had that much to offer,
mm-hmm.
but you didn't have to worry about all the other garbage about how if it's on there, I can't
transfer.
Upload it to my PC at work and stuff like that. I would be into that, and then if it starts working with Live Anywhere and all that other...
Exactly.
Do you guys really think it has a chance against the iPod and iTunes at this point?
To be honest with you, I mean, like, I don't use the iPod because I don't like the stuff that Sean was just talking about. Mm-hmm. I like the fact that the Creative Zens, for example, they let mm-hmm. you play any audio or video on the video Zen players. Mm-hmm. You can any video format you can watch. Mm-hmm. Like, I can just drag and drop, it'll convert the file over, no problem. It isn't that cut and dry for iPod. Mm-hmm.
At this whole entertainment all-in-one thing, though, it's like they're never any good,
right?
Yeah,
really. So that much is definitely true.
If, you know,
that's part
they
of the
do
problem.
Come up with this one that is actually finally this all-in-one device, and like I can finally get rid of the 9 things I would want to carry around all the time.
Or,
great,
yeah.
But
or what if it's not an all-in-one device? Is what I'm saying is like what if it's like they have like the iPod flavored unit, and then they have a gaming centric mm-hmm. unit that also happens to play MP3s and videos. It all depends on like how they roll it out, but what mm-hmm. I see right now is kind of like a starting point.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, because like if you have like a game device, there are certain control elements and things like that
yeah.
that just need to be on it.
Exactly.
And suddenly you have something that's a lot more cumbersome, as like an iPod is really sleek because you just get this little control wheel.
Yeah.
And nothing else cluttering it up. It's really really simple. It
yeah.
can be really small.
Mm-hmm.
And then as soon as you start adding all the other stuff, you get this like giant, crazy box that's like taking
up. What the hell
up.
Is it?
Yeah.
The thing about Microsoft that's scary, though,
skeptical.
Is like they always come late to the party to all these things.
Mm-hmm.
And we always laugh at them. And then eventually they
mm-hmm.
own it, right?
Yep.
I mean, like the Mac OS became Windows. Internet Explorer, we all used to use. Well, I don't have to give you guys a computer history
console
lesson, do I?
Gaming. They don't
console
own it.
Console gaming.
They're still
Microsoft
in it.
Word. Right? It used to all be word perfect.
We
back
still,
in the day.
We still laugh at Internet Explorer, though.
Yeah, you laugh at it. Yeah, they're laughing at you, buddy.
All the way to the bank.
I use Firefox, too.
I use Firefox.
But,
And actually, check out Flock if you haven't had a chance.
Who?
There's a new browser that I'm beta testing right now called Flock. It's pretty cool. Actually ties in with like Dig and MySpace for those who use it. It's kind of, I don't use MySpace, but I think it's pretty cool.
Oh, out. No.
Way. It's such a great way to find women. I mean,
I use MySpace all the time.
Oh, you do?
Oh.
Well, what's your URL, Ralphie?
He just left the building. You don't want to visit this site.
Yeah, we don't want to.
You don't want to see that
MySpace
site.
All right.
One other big news item. Are you there, Darren?
Okay, one other little bit of news. I'll skip ahead for one quick thing though before I get to it. Windows Vista, they have an official list of all the games coming out with Vista.
Ah,
so let's just go through this quick list.
That's interesting. Okay,
so here are all the games you get for free with the OS. Solitaire.
Thank God.
Minesweeper.
Because I was afraid I wasn't going to have
say
that.
It. Minesweeper.
Minesweeper.
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
We got some Free Cell.
Oh
baby. Hearts.
Yes.
Spider Solitaire.
You know what? This is awesome. They are really going out on a limb with this stuff.
Well, they're starting. This effectively destroys PopCap, and then from there, it's like everyone else.
Yeah. Actually, here's where it gets crazy. Titan Chess, a 3D chess game.
Wow. 3D?
3D chess.
Wow.
Whoa.
Mahjong Titans. Purple Place, which is a page.
Sounds like a Sony launch.
Totally
Sony console launch. Division in there.
It's a PSP game, too. Purple Palace, a kids' concentration game.
Purple?
Purple. Yeah, it's not purple.
How do you spell
purple.
That?
P-U-R-B-L-E.
Killer. Like, what about, like, even killer throw us app. A bone? Like, what about Bejeweled or something as simple
no,
as that?
No, they got
keep
some,
going. Maybe the good stuff's coming.
They, no, and actually, the last one's called Inkball. It's some kind of, like, game that was coming out for tablet PCs.
Why did they couldn't even get Elf
why
bowling.
Is this an announcement?
I have no idea.
This isn't actually, news?
You know, wait, okay.
Actually,
I
no, it's news. What happened to the Space Cadet
what about
the,
Halo
the pinball
2?
Game?
Oh, yeah.
I missed the pinball game.
Hold on, Halo wait. 2. Hang on.
Why not? You know
Halo
what?
2? That would have been good.
I have an important question.
Yes, fire away.
So what's the difference between Solitaire and Spider Solitaire?
Instead of cards,
never tried
with kings and queens.
Wow.
You've got spider
so
queens
naive.
And spider kings.
It's cute the way he doesn't know these things.
It is.
I have no
the
clue.
Spider.
I don't know.
The spider king.
Spider solitaire.
This is embarrassing.
Rule set.
It's maybe the
isn't
the
this
Spider-Man
embarrassing? What? Why'd they announce that list?
Ooh,
that's
thank
the thing.
You.
It's like, yeah, you're right. I'm like, hey, it's free, but I'm like, well, hey, why did you announce that? Those
you
things
know.
Have been in Windows
since
all
like
along.
3.
It's like if you had
actually,
an ad for a new
3D chess, man.
3D chess, Volkswagen,
purple,
and they tell you
purple land place. Or whatever.
Purple place.
Yeah.
Purple
well,
place.
I wasn't thinking of upgrading my OS, but now that I know that purple. Come on.
Purple
can't they give us like a Sudoku game or something?
Yeah, why not?
See, now that would have been smart. Ryan, you're hired.
Thank
you.
Sudoku.
Oh, there you go.
See, that would have been smart.
All the kids love Sudoku.
Sudoku See? Crazy.
And that's not asking for much, is it?
Seriously.
They whiffed on this one.
Boo.
All right.
Oh, no.
Last up in the news this week, AMD bought ATI for $5.4 billion.
That's
what a deal.
Big.
It's a big deal for, you know, the fact that, you know, this is happening, the acquisition is happening. But, I mean, what are the implications? I mean, does this mean that an integrated graphics board, like, you know, you don't need to buy a separate graphics card? That you're actually something that can perform from day one, single chip solutions for notebooks.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a quote that I dug up from I think it was they interviewed NVIDIA's Derek Perez. Now, he's a buddy of mine, good guy. But this quote I had to call him on. This is from FiringSquad.com. So Derek says, if you think about it, it's kind of like ATI is thrown in the towel, right? Getting beat on both ends, looking for a way out, a little bit like 3DFX a few years back. Now, is it just me? But didn't NVIDIA like merge with 3DFX or buy them out, and it's I don't know, it just seems a little funny him like citing 3DFX in that one.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know, I think it's definitely interesting times ahead, and I'm all for like having a more uniform system.
Me too.
Less components to buy.
Well, mm-hmm. Anytime you have something, if it's on board though, I mean, you're going to have to still upgrade your graphics card at some point.
Well, you will at some point, but it's nice to know you have some kind of like solid base level to work off of. I mean you can ask Mark Rain about this, who has been pretty vocal. He said that Intel's integrated graphics
who Mark
has killed.
Rain is.
Mark Rain, VP of Epic Games. Basically, he's been very vocal in the press about how Intel's integrated graphics solutions have pretty much killed PC gaming. So maybe this is a step in the right direction.
Well, another integrated?
Well, an integrated one. I mean,
it's the integration is the thing. That
yeah, but how well known is Intel for its graphics cards?
Right,
that's kind of the point. So
but it's
you
like
have,
you don't. It's like I don't want to buy a you know the one thing when it, like when Ryan says I'm going to have to upgrade the other down the line, and it means that one, the only thing I'm going to have to get ATI to fit with this, and that's the end of my options. Or
not necessarily. I mean, you have motherboards, and you could fit an ATI or NVIDIA. I mean, it's a standardized plug that goes into it. The difference here is instead of having a crap base level, you have a good base level. So it's like. You start at 0 or 50, and then you want to get to 100.
Mm-hmm. Or you could just get an Xbox 360.
Or you just get an Xbox 360.
And Chrome Hounds.
And Chrome Hounds.
I mean, if the integrated graphics cards come without a huge jump in price, then
that's exactly it. I mean, if it doesn't affect the price, I'm fine with it. I mean, it can only mean good things, I'd like to think.
There's the whole gateway drug thing that works, too. I mean, once you get someone in the door... I mean, it just kind of worked for me. I was playing, you know, Team Fortress 2, a software rendering, and it was...
Team Fortress 1.
Team Fortress 1 through software rendering.
Right.
And if not for that, I might not have become a PC gamer, at least not, you know, for several years after that. And then it was at that point then I began doing the research and saying, okay, this is a dead end that I got here. It was this little Dell, it was this little gateway box that was, you know, couldn't do anything to it. It had onboard solution, and that was it. No slots or anything.
Mm-hmm.
And it got my foot in the door, and then from then on, you know, the rest is history, I guess.
So do we all build our own machines? Actually, I think that was one of our questions.
Yeah.
Which actually, I can merge into now. Yes, that came from Robert Baron Calamity Merritt. He asked on the message board, does the CGW staff prefer to build or buy their personal computers at home? So are we all builders here?
Yes.
I'm a builder.
I'm a builder.
John?
I haven't built my own yet. I've changed the parts plenty, and I bought ones where I had them built specifically for me, like through eBay and stuff.
But and you're not buying like a Dell.
But I'm not. Oh, no, no.
I think that's
no.
what he means.
Phew. No.
You can't have that on like that.
I actually had a good deal. It was like I found something really cheap, my last PC on eBay, and it was like, you know, the guy just, here's all the parts I have. We'll put them together for you and send them, and like, you know, $350, and it was good enough to play.
That was
the
whole, that's a great deal. It was pretty stable. You haven't had any problems?
It never had any problem. I mean, I've upgraded since then. I mean, it got me through, you know, Battlefield 42, up Battlefield Vietnam, up through that era, and then since then I upgraded for Battlefield 2, but it was a good deal. I definitely would do business with them again.
You really kind of have to. I mean, it's sort of like you said, like maybe if you buy it complete but then swap out. I mean, at some point, if you're serious about your gaming, you can't just have a closed box sort of person.
Right, you have to. Yeah, you have to keep switching.
I think it's kind of the notion of PC gaming in general. I don't think anyone really goes for that closed box deal anymore unless they're like, you know, somebody's mom.
Right.
Might as well get a console.
Yeah, I was sitting in a focus group last night with a bunch of CGW subscribers, and every one of them build their own PC.
Mm-hmm.
It's just probably the nature of it. So that's your answer. We prefer to build at CGW. Let's see. A couple other reader questions before we sign off. We'll look for the juicy ones. There's one about my tight pants. We're going to skip over that.
Despite the juiciness.
Yeah. Just stop. Let's see. We have, let's see if we can get this question down to more of a nutshell. I think it's interesting. So first one on here from Renee Almond or Almond.
Very fancy Almond.
Yeah, it's a fancy almond because it has an E at the end.
Almond.
Knight. He asked us about the Prey save games or the end game or lack of end game situation, I should say. He says, the topic was brushed on in the last podcast talking about Prey. You don't really die, just duck hunt for a while and you're back and ready to go.
So yeah, spiritual duck hunting.
Our game's spiritual, duck hunting. Our game's getting too easy to play. Big bosses are not big bosses anymore. In Quake and blah, blah, blah.
It's weird because I'm playing.
When was the last time you actually read the words game over?
Right.
What's our take on this?
I was playing Prey on Cherokee mode, which is their version of hard.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah.
Is it the scalpel
mode? The phenomenon was weird because I actually had. The only hard part of it was the very beginning of the game before you know you can spiritually duck hunt. That's the only time I've ever seen a game over screen. It was weird for like the first 10 minutes. Like I died a couple times and had to reload.
Oh,
I'm
wow.
Like, wow, why is the beginning of the game harder than after you get to the point where you can spiritually duck hunt? And then suddenly it's exactly the same kind of cakewalk. I may have visited the spirit realm a couple more times, but it's otherwise like, well, why is this hard? Like,
well, it's
because
not.
Well, that's the whole problem is that since you have the spiritual duck hunt, you could just keep going and
but
wearing
down. Is it a
down.
Problem?
I like the thing. I'm going to stand up and say I liked it, and I might not have finished it since I wasn't reviewing it. Mm-hmm. I might not have even finished it if not for that, because once they started throwing those same enemy encounters at you over and over again where it's like, okay, look, I know there's going to be two of the big floaty blob guys here. There's going to be another one here.
Excuse me, they have a name.
Yeah, and if I die,
Mr. Floaty Blob,
I don't know what it is.
Okay, if Shartakwan 1 appears here and then
the
old Bulbasaur comes out on this side.
It was the Charizard.
So it's like, and if I kept doing that and, you know, and if I kept dying, it's just like, eh. So I didn't have a problem because I wanted to keep playing through the game. And it's a long enough game as it is. I feel like I got my money's worth playing it, you know, even with the spiritual duck hunt going through. And for me, it takes a really good – the harder a game is, the better it has to be.
Right.
And especially the older I get. So, I mean, I think a lot of the – you know, our game's too easy now. It's like, you know, we all remember when we were, you know, what, 7 years old. I mean, it's going to differ what we were playing for each of us. You were playing some – you know, LCD football or whatever. But I was playing like
you're being generous.
So if I'm playing
like banging on sticks,
I'd play the original Castlevania on Nintendo, right?
You roll like a wheel down the street.
So there's no save. There's no password. There's nothing like that. And
to leave the Nintendo on overnight,
phenomenally hard. You leave it on overnight, but you keep playing. You keep playing. It's like, what else do I have to do? Like, Frankenstein kill me 8 times. Who cares? Like, I'll just come back and whoop his ass. But like now, if Frankenstein beats me 3 times, then screw
him.
You're
never playing
it
again.
I'm done.
Yeah.
You know. So
I agree.
Although, I mean, there's so many games out there and multiplayer games, too. It's like I could be playing Prey on my own, or I could be playing, you know, either it's multiplayer or another game and talking with people and enjoying myself. So
I just too hard. With this Prey thing, I just felt like if you didn't like this, you know, if you were so good that you weren't going to die, then I mean, then what do you care? You know, if you can get through it without going to the spirit world, then, you know, bully for you.
Point them to Far Cry, you know, I mean,
yeah. Yeah. Merciless. I mean, the only thing that because I died quite a lot because I kind of suck, and I appreciated that I didn't have to go to an end game screen and then a reload or whatever. Mm-hmm. But I did think that there were some times when they could have had the health go back up on the monsters that I had killed already. Like, it almost it seemed like kind of a cheat.
Right. It is kind of a cheat.
Yeah, it is.
Like Titan cheating, Quest works that way.
Sanctioned.
You know? When you die and come back... I mean, obviously, it's a totally different game. It's an RPG, but if you die in the middle of a boss encounter,
they have their health
and come
back.
Their health is back up to max.
It'd be interesting to find out if that was something they added, like after playtesting. Maybe people were playing it and going, having maybe the Sean issue where they like, I don't really want to play this, so I have to keep reloading. It's not that good. And then they said, okay, well, let's add this death mechanic where you'll like, you know, it's not that annoying anymore. So now do you want to keep playing?
I don't know, finish it. I think the idea of like, you know, that you have to go through a game and like keep hitting the game over screen.
People, you know what? I think the more I think of it, the function of Spiritual Duck Hunt sort of exists in most games anyway that have a quick save function.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And although like pressing pause or something, that's not internal to the dynamic of the game. It's kind of this outside activity.
Right.
It still becomes attached to it as a game in and of itself. You know, like, when should I press this? Should I do it now? Like, I've got just enough health. Do I really want to do it here? And you keep doing it. So it's like, it just turned
mechanic.
That into something that's integral and that's inside the game.
Right.
Proper,
I think that's the difference. It's kind of like when you have a quick save or whatever, you're kind of you're working outside of the parameters of the game and you're just
And you're still, it's still part of the game, though.
Right. But, but I mean, it's like you're not actually like,
No, it's outside the game, but in your mind, it serves as part of the game.
Exactly. Yeah.
So, maybe did you guys ever, I got to ask, have you all in a game with quick saved like at the exact wrong moment? Like, so you've been in eternal death.
Oh, yeah. It's like the second that you're, like, ready to, like, fall off a ledge or something. And
so then it reloads and you're just dying.
Yeah. Or you were just desperate. You had, like, one health, you know, one little health bar left and, like, 5 bullets.
I've done that.
That sucks.
And then you keep trying, even though you're like, hey, the previous save isn't that much, you know, isn't too far back. But I'm just going to try that for, like,
maybe
5 times and just
maybe
get pissed off. Another thing I think a lot of people... Because God mode and no clip are so easy to access in PC shooters. I think a lot more people than some people would suspect use those. And so that's the other thing. Do you want people to end up wasting all the effort you put into your game turning on God mode? Or do you want them to play some Spiritual Duck Hunt? You know,
maybe that's why I don't like it, because I'm the kind of person who just the last thing I would do is turn on God mode.
Yeah, I know.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I've done it. Like the original Half-Life, there was parts at the end where I was like, you know, like the damn... floating sack of crap in the end. The last guy, I was like, I didn't know what I was supposed to
now
do.
That actually
the hell
was
it even
the
was.
That
so I turned on God mode.
Damn
and blew
floating
shit up.
Sack of crap. That was the name in the manual.
Yeah, TM. Sack lore.
Do spinoffs with him.
So, like, well, what's the concern with, or you know, he asks, are games getting too easy to play? Like, what if they are? What's wrong with that? Is there anything wrong?
Well, we want a challenge.
That's a kind of challenge.
Don't you like a challenge, Ryan?
I guess within reason. I mean, if like you said, if I play a game and it's too hard and I have to keep reloading, I'm going to move on to something
else. In most cases, too, the difficulty levels are there. And while they don't make the AI any more intelligent, they do the obvious. They make the AI more accurate. They make you take greater damage and you do less damage. And if you're
less
a stickler for punishment...
Too.
Then do that. Play that mode, you know? I mean, so far, I mean, Prey is like the one game that actually has the Spiritual Duck Hunt and the whole quick save thing implemented into the game itself. But
I'd like to see, actually, if anybody follows up and sort of imitates this sort of save system. I liked it a lot.
But it is, I think Western games especially are much more in tune to what people's sort of threshold for punishment is. I mean, look at what Valve just did with the elevator scene. And we were talking about that in a previous, you know, podcast. But it's like, when you play like more and more, like Dead Rising just came out for Xbox 360, or is about to come out, I guess. The review copies are all around here. The save system on that is just so archaic and stuff. And you see a lot of times, I still see games from Japan come out where they're, I don't know, they just seem so behind the times, at least to, you know, Western taste and what we've gotten used to, you know, where they expect you to do something a million times and act like you're that seven-year-old kid and you get one game every 3 months, and so you damn well better play the hell out of it.
We've gotten softer. Maybe gamers have just gotten softer.
You guys ever play Ninja Gaiden older. Less on time. The Xbox?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Merciless. Oh, that was that most notorious, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Which one?
I enjoyed
Ninja Gaiden.
Oh, yeah. I enjoyed that challenge.
Like, I remember even Scooter over at OPM saying it was hard. And, you know, that's
a tough game.
It's like not human.
Especially at the end. Horrible.
Yeah.
But at the same time, that was also a really good game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like the threshold you were talking about.
The Fatal Combo is a poor game it's difficult. And as reviewers, you all know it. The biggest offender you've ever had wasn't just a crap game, but it was a crap game that took you a whole lot of work to get anywhere in. Mm-hmm. Those are the ones that you hate, that when you come home, those rare, you know, once a year times when you come home and say, you know what, I'm freaking sick of this job. it's that game that's a piece of junk and is hard and it's punishing. Hard.
Yeah.
Okay, what's your game for that one?
I had, what the hell was it? Infamous, the review is Infamous because the company was so pissed off about it, but it was the Evil Dead. It wasn't the last one, but the one before that. Evil Dead, Fistful of Boomstick.
I remember you.
Because it was infinite regress puzzles where it's like, okay, you need to get this key to open this gate, and at the same time you're fighting respawning monsters. And then, so to get the key, it turns out you find a trucker, and he's like, well, I need gas for my truck before I give you the key. And then you find the guy who's got the gas, and he's like, well, I need you to rescue my kitten. And then the guy, you know, the kitten is like, I'm not coming down for the tree unless you grow me a flower. And then the guy with the flower seeds is like, I'm not giving you these seeds
unless
you marry my daughter.
Sounds like an Eastern
parable. So it's like, by the time you open this one gate, you're like, what the hell was I doing? You know, I killed like a bajillion of these stupid things.
I got a freaking chainsaw. I got to climb this thing.
And yeah, you don't even know half the time what's happening or what you're doing. And so it was just like, it was a crappy game with infinite regress puzzles thrown on top of it. And I blew my stack. I punched the desk quite a bit playing that thing, and that's rare for me.
Yeah, Darren, you've like broken a couple keyboards at CGW, like literally.
Keyboards, mice.
But you did that over good games.
Well, that's true. But, I mean, there are some games where I remember there was one game I actually, like, I threw the mouse, and I was so disgusted I didn't break the mouse on the first try. I actually grabbed it by the wire and started slamming it against the table until it finally broke.
Yeah.
And that,
even after you thought about it.
Exactly. Like,
you know what?
You know
what?
The mouse deserves to die right now. That game was Breed.
I think I've seen that mouse back when I was like at EGM and I would freelance for you now and then. I came over and there's that one mouse with the buttons all torn off. And
yep, that was the one.
Yeah, well, the reviewing mentality is just comes majorly into play in situations like that. Because
it really
like,
does, yeah.
Well, yeah,
you're sitting there going, I've got a deadline. I got to finish this. Oh, my God, I hate it so much. I can't get past this part. Maybe right. Like if you're on a deadline, that prey... Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The prey mechanic suddenly seems like, you know,
a godsend. I know, that's right. Really true. I mean, I had to think of that because I wrote the review of Prey, and I was like, thank God for this.
I had none of those concerns, and I'm backing you up. Mm-hmm.
But I also totally feel it that way the opposite way, too. I mean, a game that's hard, that's pissing me off because I got to get the review done.
Yeah.
Like, I always have to think, am I just mad because this is taking so long?
Right.
And would someone who actually paid money for this be appreciating?
I felt that way about Condemned, where everyone criticized its brevity. And for me, and the reviewers did, and they're playing these marathon sessions like, hey, text is due tomorrow. I've got to jam through it. And they're like, wow, that wasn't so bad. But me, the game was just so like nails on chalkboard, but in a good way for me. I mean, it was just so like disturbing to me that I would play one level and turn it off. Maybe a couple of days later, play another one. So the thing lasted me 2 weeks. And I was like, hey, that was a great time.
The
you know?
Only problem
I was equivalent
I have
to renting like 6-8 movies.
The only problem I had with that game, though, is I wish they made me work more for like trying to figure out what devices I'm supposed to use to solve, you know, look for the clues.
Yeah, that was bad.
Yeah, I said that.
That's a whole other story. But the repetitiveness of the gameplay, too, wasn't so damaging to me because, again, I had it all stretched out. I didn't do, you know, 6 hours straight of beating people with the same stop sign or whatever it was, you know, locker door.
Bum fights.
Yeah, I think that's probably a good topic for another podcast, maybe in depth. This, you know, just the kind of thinking we have to go through when we're playing these games.
At CGW, when we do our review/viewpoints, we each of us do far fewer than a lot of people do at other outlets. I mean, there was like a month at EGM when I did 13 reviews in a single month, and in addition to other stuff. And that's not like a poor me scenario, but it's like clearly to do that, I'm trying to, my mind is on jamming through these games, you know?
Sure.
Whereas here, each one of us rarely does more than two in a single issue, and that's plenty of time to like get out of, I mean, we could play it at home and relax and just sort of detach ourselves from
that. Get into the mentality that actual people playing the game would have.
Yeah, because who's going to, like, how many people really race through a game? Like,
you totally want to have your mindset in the place of, you know, as if you were not part of this big, you know, review machine.
And there you have it.
I just paid money for this. Like, am I going to have a good time tonight? You know, the wife or whatever is out with their friends. I get to do what I want. Here's what I chose to do. Is this a good time?
True.
Amen.
Amen. Well, we'll get back into that another day.
That's good stuff.
Lots of stuff.
We're probably at the end of our time.
We're almost at an hour again.
We promised ourselves we weren't going to do that.
How close are we?
No more jokes. 55. Nothing.
Okay, so we're done.
Sign us off.
We are done. We're out of here. Thank you for listening, and we will be back next week with more. Say goodbye, Ralphie.
Bye. Make sure you invite me to the next podcast, or I'll blog about you on MySpace.